Good morning.
Good morning.
They're getting better, aren't they?
Very good. We welcome you to worship today. We are so pleased that you are together today in worship as we come to College Park this morning. A few announcements as we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship, and the way we do that, we have pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take that pew pad, write your name down, give us any contact information you choose, and then check the appropriate boxes. Once you're done, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. We do ask, once it gets to that last person, if you could send it back to where it got started this morning. College Park regular tenders, this is your opportunity to find out the name of a guest that's on your pew and introduce yourself at the end of the service. And we do ask, once that pew pad comes back to that first person, if you could tear out those pages that were used today, that will help us. Ushers will collect those at the end of the service. A couple reminders today, family ministry team and youth council are meeting today at 4 o'clock, so I want you to make note of that. We'll be in Smith Hall, all of those committees. Also, today is the deadline for our pledge cards to be in. Over the last month and a half, we've been discussing new construction as well as additional renovations to our facility. And part of that process has been finding out the financial support level of the congregation. So we're inviting you to turn in today those pledge cards. There's a place at the Welcome Center that you're able to just drop those in. This will help us as we continue to go forward, making plans for a May 6th vote just in a couple of weeks. It's a very exciting time at College Park, and we appreciate you playing your part in that process. Let's see. Carolyn Matthews has an announcement.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God." And Raymond is going to remind us this morning in his sermon, he's going to caution us not to be numb to God's grace. And I want to point out to you that this summer we have the opportunity to share and spread God's grace in our summer mission project, formerly known as Mountain Outreach. We now call it home, and we have voted and are making plans to go to Winterville, North Carolina again this summer near Greenville and construct a home for Mrs. Waller and her family. And what I'd like to do is to ask you to start praying about how you can be a part of sharing God's grace. And one of the things that we're emphasizing today is the fact that we're going to need to have $28,000 to purchase the building materials to build a home. And so we'd like to ask you to begin praying what you might be able to give, either in small increments or a large one-time donation. It will be an ongoing emphasis until we go. And the time that we're going is July 1 through 6. And we'll be talking more and more about it, but please mark your calendar because we will need hands also to help us in the construction of that home. And as we approach, we'll be talking with you about other things that you can do and ways that you can be a part of it. But as I said, we wanted to emphasize the financial goal today. Roger had hoped to be here, could not be here today, but we will be looking to raise $28,000. And I ask again that you please pray and prayerfully consider how can you give, because it's not just building a home. That's important. But it is also a way to share God's grace. Thank you.
A couple of other notices. This Wednesday is our regular quarterly church conference. Take place at 6:45 in Smith Hall. I want you to know that. Also, next Sunday is Plus One Sunday. We're inviting everyone who attends regularly to invite somebody to bring with you to church next week. We're looking for additional people to reach out in the name of Christ, and we know that this church does that as well as anybody, and we look forward to visiting with new people next week. Reminder to our children, we are having children's time today right after that first hymn, so make note of that. We want to say a special welcome to our guest this morning. We appreciate the information you have already given us on your pew pad. We have some information we would like to give back to you. So if you're a guest with us this morning, we invite you just right where you're sitting, just to raise your hand, and the ushers will recognize you, and they will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you'll find a little bit of the information or the history of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So thank you for being a part of worship today. It was a beautiful day yesterday at our house, as I'm sure it was for you. It was so beautiful that my wife said, "Why don't you power wash the driveway?" 6 hours later, I was about halfway done with the power washing, and I was reminded sometimes the work that Jesus has to do in us takes some time. There was some grub and grime, and I don't know what was on my driveway. But it took a power washer. Now, I could spit much faster than my power washer can put water out, but that's beside the point. Cleaning off some of that stuff that hangs around and has hung around for a long, long time. Sometimes we try to do it on our own, when Jesus wants to take us and make us clean and make us whole, but we want to hold on to that stuff. This morning, my prayer for us is whatever has been clogging you up, whatever has been keeping you from remembering the joy of Christ, He wants to take it away. He wants to clean us up. If we're ready, if we have ears to hear, let us prepare to feel God's cleansing presence in our life. Let us prepare for worship. Pray with me. Father, how often can we come into a place like this sanctuary where we sing words like, "Glorious is your name"? So many times we come into this place and it's just what we did last week. It's repetitive. It doesn't mean anything to us. But God, if we stop to consider that Jesus truly is alive and that He is making a difference in this world, just to think about what You've done in my life should give me cause to sing, "Glorious is Your name," for eternity, with everything that I have. But so often we get stuff in the way, and we stop to see You for who You are. Father, let this day be a day of renewal, Let this day be a day of worship with everything that we have. Be in this place, we pray. Inhabit this place. Inhabit the people. Be with us as we worship in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on down. Did everybody get a Jamaica bracelet last week? You've got one? I just want to make sure everybody. You didn't get one? There. Sit down for me, Jared. Crisscross applesauce? Did you get one? Oh, Alex. Thank you, man. All right. Ain't everybody crisscross applesauce looking this way? All right. We'll do these later. I want to make sure everybody gets one because remember last week Mr. Jeff forgot where he put them? You want to know where they were? On my desk in my office. It's always the last place you look. I have a question. And I need for you to just answer whatever you think the answer is to this question. I just want you to, I know, uh-oh, I hear. Maybe I should restate that. All right. Okay. I want a good vacation Bible school answer. Is that better? Okay. All right. Here. When you think of the name Jesus, what do you think? Tim Tebow. Okay. All right. Why do you say Tim Tebow? Because he does a lot of things for Jesus. He's a great role model for you guys. Okay? When you think of Jesus, what do you think? Cam. You think of what? Cam Newton. Cam Newton? We'll talk. Okay. He is a good guy. Cam is a good guy. All right. Michael Tate. Oh, Tate, like in DC Talk, Newsboys, Michael Tate. Okay. Why do you think of Michael Tate? He is a good prayer. He sings really well. Okay. Yeah. The great song they got right now, God's Not Dead. It's a great song. All right. Tell me about when you think of the name Jesus. What else do you think? Let me get some other. What do you think? Jared, what do you think? When you think of the name Jesus. About loving him. You know, here's the point. Did y'all hear, weren't they different answers? Weren't all those different answers? When we think about Jesus, and Pastor Raymond's going to talk about this morning, all of us hear Jesus' name, but maybe we think a little bit differently about who he was, what he did, and the difference that he made. You know, this morning, Pastor Raymond's going to talk about when Jesus was resurrected, he appeared to a whole lot of people. And he met people right where they were. That meant whatever they needed, Jesus provided. He provided love. He provided forgiveness. Now, there's one thing we learned in preschool worship. What was that? What did we learn? Jesus is a good... Does anybody remember? Jared, what do you remember that? What was that F word? Friend? Jesus is a good friend. Jesus provided everything that we need. Whatever... What you got, Abby? He is a good hero. Absolutely. Jesus is a good hero. Jesus provides everything that we could ever need. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, Jesus knows exactly what you need. That's exactly what Pastor Raymond is going to talk about. Wherever you are, Jesus is exactly what you need. Let's pray together. God, we love you. And we thank you that no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, Jesus is exactly who we need. Help us to be like Tim Tebow and to be like Michael Tate, to be those people that when other people see us, they see Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can go back to your seat now. We'll get the fly. Don't worry. Come on.
I invite you to take your Bible now as we turn for the ministry of God's Word to the first letter, John. This will be 1 John. 1 John. If you didn't bring your Bible with you, that's okay. There should be one there close by to you in the pew if you'd like to read with us. 1 John 1, I'll be beginning in verse 1 and read down through the second verse of chapter 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. May God bless the reading and understanding of his word. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, through Jesus Christ and through his act of sacrifice, and we are able to come directly to your throne and to lay our request and to offer our praise directly at your feet, Father, for we know that you are a God of grace and mercy, that you have given your Son for us. And in his resurrection, we know what it means. We know what it means now to have the hope of resurrection ourselves. And so, Father, it's with that peace and with that joy that we come to you this morning. And we have a lot of things that we're thankful for. It's been a beautiful week. It's been an opportunity to share the love of Christ with others. And we thank you for the opportunities you've given us. We ask for more opportunities this week, and we know that you'll provide those for us. We pray that we would have the eyes to see. when you place people in our path that need ministry, that need an opportunity to hear about the love of Christ. God, we also know that there are many people that cross our paths that are hurting. And we pray that you would make us aware, that you would give us recognition of when we need to listen and just be a friend, and when we need to speak the truth in love. God, we pray for your Spirit to guide us as we seek to minister in your name. For all that you've given us this week, for all that you promised to give to us in the coming week, not material blessings, Father, but your presence to guide us and strengthen us, we thank you now. We ask all of these things in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Bow with me in prayer. Father, thank you so much for loving us even when we don't deserve it, and forgive us for not sharing your love with others. Thank you for blessing us so graciously with financial resources, and forgive us when we take credit for them. Help us to be generous this morning. We ask that you bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
Last Sunday was Easter, and it's amazing how quickly things change. Last week we talked about how quickly things change from Palm Sunday to Good Friday to Easter. And it's pretty amazing in the course of this week. We've gotten busy. We're doing a lot of things. It may seem like longer ago that it was Easter. It may for you seem like it was just yesterday. It's interesting to see how the biblical narrative unfolds as we look at what happened after the resurrection. And last week we read from John chapter 20. So I'm going to back up in order to set the stage for today's scripture reading. I'm going to back up a couple of verses. You remember that Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, and then he tells her, "Don't hold on to me, though, for I've not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I've seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. And so we start there today in chapter 20, verses 19 and following. Let me read that to you again. If you have your Bible, you might want to turn with me. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19. It continues the narrative there. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, let me stop there a minute. If you were reading along and you said that the disciples were afraid of someone, your natural thought may not have been that they were afraid of their own people. You know, if it said for they were afraid of the Romans, or they were afraid of this group or that group, but it's pretty clear the doors were locked for fear of their own people, the Jews. Continues, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, was one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. Let me pause there for a second. Have you ever wondered where Thomas was? All the rest of them were afraid and had huddled together in the room, locked the door. Where was Thomas? He was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, again, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. It's really kind of interesting. If you read through the gospel accounts and into the book of Acts, the gospel accounts of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus, sometimes to me, it's kind of like watching one of the old Keystone Cop movies. And I say that in this way. As you read these narratives, the serenity, I mean, he appears to him twice, he says, "Peace be with you." And the serenity of Jesus stands in stark contrast to this whole frenetic activity among the followers of Jesus. You know, the exact chronological sequence of what happened immediately following the resurrection is as difficult to determine as is the nature of the various personal reactions to Jesus by the disciples who encountered him. You see, after the resurrection of Jesus, people who were as familiar with Jesus as they were the members of their own family failed to recognize him. It's interesting. But others saw him and knew who he was from a long distance. Some individuals spoke of Jesus' physical traits. They talked about his scars. They talked about his hunger and the look in his eye. Others told stories about his mystical nature, how he was here one moment and then gone. How he moved in and out of a room with closed doors, locked doors, like we've read today. Participants in the same event with Jesus frequently reported different accounts of what happened. Now, some people will find this diversity in reporting of these post-resurrection appearances very disturbing. You know, fearing that cynics may charge, why should we believe this? You guys can't even get your own story together. Why should we believe this? And so many, they labor tenaciously to try to reconcile all the accounts, to impose order where there's confusion, to create conformity or uniformity out of diversity. Some people seem to fear that people aren't going to believe in the resurrection of Jesus unless they can prove the resurrection by offering harmonized accounts of what Jesus did and said. Kind of play by play, exact what happened. Personally, I'm not of that mindset. I'll be honest with you. You know, I find the diversity in the post-resurrection stories of the gospel profoundly reassuring. Obviously, what we have in the gospels is not a carefully choreographed presentation of Jesus developed out of some sort of studied strategy. Strategy. What we have instead when we read the Gospels are different accounts of numerous individuals writing, telling those accounts out of a sense of excitement and wonder that's born out of experiencing a totally new reality. Jesus was dead on Friday. He was alive on Sunday, and now he's appearing to them. Can you imagine the excitement about there? Think about the dynamics that are at play here. Now, let me put you this way. If you see a car accident, and there are several other people that see a car accident, you've heard this analogy before. Officer Keltner, if you get four accounts of the same thing and they're identical, what do you know? Yeah, somebody's lying. somebody's lying there. They have staged up, they have rehearsed this thing, because when you get to three or four people and ask them to give account of what they've seen, it's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be, now some of the basics may be the same, but we all experience things from a little bit different perspective. So when we have people that have experienced the presence of Jesus Christ, their stories are going to be different. Their experiences are a little bit different. You see, the affirmation of the resurrection of Jesus that pervades the gospel are not the product of some sort of mass strategy or some sort of mob psychology or an imposed doctrinal orthodoxy or a strategy to convince the world about this stupendous event. That's not what you see there. What you have is the product of hundreds of different personal experiences. Hundreds. In the diversity of these numerous individuals' reports, then relate to the risen Christ resides a wonderful promise. For us, let me read these two verses again. Sometimes we read through a passage of scripture and you kind of have kind of an addendum. You don't really put a whole lot of stress on those. Look at these verses again, verse 30 and 31. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So much more happened that's not recorded. So many more experiences with the risen Savior that are not recorded. Miraculous things, it says. Miraculous signs that are not recorded. The powerful meaning of the resurrection of Jesus for our lives is lost if the resurrection is considered only a doctrine to which every individual has to give a thumbs up or a thumbs down reaction. You see, the resurrection of Jesus is not a theory to be proven or a creedal statement to be repeated so much as it is an experience, a personal experience. And this experience is to be realized by individuals in their own respective experiences by means of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, what changed, what turned the tide for Thomas? He said, unless I see, unless I put my hand here, unless I do all of these things, I won't believe. But yet when Jesus was before him, Jesus said, put your hands here, do this, do that. Scripture doesn't tell us, if you'll notice, it doesn't say he did that. Just the face-to-face encounter, the experience of seeing Jesus face-to-face, that did it for Thomas. That did it. The personal experience, face-to-face with his Lord, and he believed. Because Jesus provides our insight to God, Christ is God in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. He is God in the flesh. And because he provides our best insight into God, the new reality of the resurrection of Jesus gives us confidence regarding one certainty, one promise, and that is God is with us. Emmanuel means God is with us. That was the plan from the very beginning, to help us understand that Jesus is here to tell us that God is with us. Twice in both encounters, he says, peace, peace be to you. Be calm. It's okay. I'm here with you. I'm here with you. And the implications of that promise should energize our worship. It truly should. I mean, it should energize our participation in worship. But beyond that, it also stretches beyond corporate worship, because the resurrection narrative actually makes up a very small percentage of what we have in the Gospels. If you'll look at it, the resurrection narrative and post-resurrection is just a couple pages in each Gospel account. But that small amount of material provides us with a large amount of truth. Hear these things. The risen Christ appeared in the midst of a small group of fearful, discouraged disciples. We've already read that. Jesus appeared on the shore of a lake in which some of his followers were fishing. As reported in the text again for today, Jesus appeared to a man who questioned, he doubted, he questioned almost everything and doubted reports of the resurrection. In a familiar place, Jesus shared a meal with some of his followers. Not long after that, he joined a couple of travelers that were reeling from the shattered dreams that they had. He talked with them. He walked beside them. He encouraged them, and then he broke bread with them. And that's significant. He had a meal with some of his followers. He broke bread with these followers, and that's significant because they believed that a spirit could not consume food. So if Jesus was only a spiritual resurrection, then he wouldn't have eaten. He wouldn't have been able to eat with him. He literally had a resurrected body. He had a physical body, and so he ate with them, and they caught the significance of that. Jesus appeared to individuals who knew him well enough to avoid the use of title and call him Jesus. He appeared to them. But he also appeared to people who had never even had a one-on-one conversation with him. Isn't that interesting? He appeared among people who spoke boldly of their faith, and he also appeared among individuals who were struggling with the very possibility of faith. Do you sense kind of a theme, a truth that's running through all of these encounters with the risen Christ, like a golden thread kind of pulling it all together? I tell you, I do. The truth for me that I discover when I read all of these accounts is that no one was, no one is left out. The risen Christ comes to all people. The confident, the disturbed, the discouraged, the self-assured, the doubting, the grieving, the rejoicing, the fearful, the hopeful. He comes to all people. No time or no location, either geographically or spiritually, falls outside of the reach of the risen Savior. We can experience the divine presence when worshiping or working or playing or struggling, whether we're in the sanctuary, whether we're in our office at work, whether it's a festive day or whether it's a miserable day, or if it's in the middle of the night. The risen Christ comes to us and he stays with us. He abides with us. And he says, peace. Peace be with you. Because he's with us. And when we speak, when we write of our personal encounters with Jesus Christ, the post-resurrection story grows and grows and continues and continues. So many things were not written. So many things continue to be not written and or written about personal encounters that believers, followers have with Jesus Christ. And our story is a part of that larger story. The history of Jesus' influence goes on and on and on. Each installment that we bring to the story is as peculiar and particular as those that are recorded in the Gospels. Now, as in the Gospel narratives, diversity marks our encounters with Jesus as well, right? You don't have the same exact encounters, experiences with Jesus that I do. However, that diversity gives way to unity when out of even different voices, we speak of the rock bottom reality at stake, and that is the fact that Christ comes to us. Jesus comes to us, abides with us. That's what the world needs to hear. That's what the world needs to hear. They need to hear that from us this week. They need to hear it from us in the weeks to come. Jeff announced about Plus One Sunday next Sunday. That's not about the preacher's ego or the staff ego or the church ego. That's about helping people come to know Christ. That's about putting them in an environment where hopefully they can experience the risen Savior in a very real way. It's not about filling up pews. It's about changing lives. Look for opportunities this week to invite someone into this fellowship. You know, the truths that spring from the affirmation of the gospel writers and our personal experiences are overwhelming because we're never alone. God is with us. And catch this. The closer we are with God, the closer we are drawn to one another. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. That's what it means to have fellowship one with another. That's what it means to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. That's what that means. The closer we are with God, the closer we are drawn to each other. There's no challenge that we cannot meet and negotiate together with the power of God. Amen? You serve a risen Savior. God is alive and he's among us. You ask me how? You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. The answer that we have, my answer, not unlike the answer that you might have heard from Thomas, draws from many sources. But this one is primary. I know that Christ lives because he lives within this fellowship and he lives within my heart. He lives within your heart. We're going to stand and we're going to sing that song. And it's a wonderful opportunity to affirm the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. He lives within your heart. That's the good news that we have to share. In a moment, we're going to stand and sing that. But I want to challenge you as we sing, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is the day. This is today. I'll be glad to talk with you and share with you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, how he can abide in you. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I'm sorry, I've been living life kind of on my own strength, and I need to get plugged back up. I need to be walking with Christ instead of apart from him. That's a beautiful reaffirmation of your faith that you're welcome to talk with God where you are, or be glad to talk with you if you'd like that. If you're here and you want to be a part of this fellowship, I believe strongly that God works through us both corporately and individually. But our strength is in drawing close together and depending on God's help and God's strength to use us as a body. And if you're here and you'd like to be a part of this fellowship, there's many ways we receive members. I'd be glad to talk with you. But whatever your decision is, whatever you'd like to decide, I challenge you to make that a public decision because we can rejoice with you. Let's stand and sing together now. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we thank you for the truth that you live within us, that you walk with us, you talk with us, you lead us in the path that you direct us to. Father, that's it's an awesome truth. Allow us to take that with us this week, to look for your hand as you work all around us, to be a part of what you're doing in and around our lives. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Be honor and glory. This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.